Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, precious Blood River Radio family and supporters, I'd like to thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for keeping us on the air with all your support, all of your donations, your sacrificial donations. I know money's really hard to come by. But listen, people, this is the third hour, the third and final installment of the Blood River Radio Salute to Charlottesville for 2025. As you well know, August of 2017 was the Battle of Charlottesville, and we will, as long as there's Blood River Radio, as long as I'm around, we will always use August as the month to celebrate and honor all the loyal people that took place in the Battle of Charlottesville. We have two great people tonight. We have the Bitter Ender, the still bitter, more bitter than ever, Bitter Ender. And I wish I could say more about that because there's something coming up in the future. But anyway, that's about out of time for him. We also have my little brother. We used to call him Sun Boy. Old Sun Boy James Edwards. He'll be hooking up any second. You know, I started, this is a quick aside. I started with James, I guess about, he always says a quarter century ago. He was just a kid. And believe it or not, 25 years ago, I was younger than I am now. But we started in the political battles in the streets of West Tennessee, fighting the ne'er-do-wells, campaigning different political in the political campaigns. Of course, we lost every single one, but we never gave up. And it was James that got me in radio back, golly, a long time ago, in the old Beanfield in Tipton County. And we've been brothers. Well, actually, I know that's been his grandpa just about, but we've been really brothers, joined at the hip for years and years. And no matter how many times we have, you know, squabbles and fights and alpha dog fights, et cetera, we always come back. We always do. And we have two wonderful people. And I met the Bitter Ender. I know when I've known him for years, as long as I've been TPC, but when I first got really well acquainted with the Bitter Ender, it was with my back there. It was actually August the 11th of 2017 when they came and picked me. They being Gene and Matt the Moe Goodwin and the Bitter Wonder Rich Hamlin and Simon Rose came to pick me up in Cooksville, Tennessee. We rode up to Charlottesville together the next day. Everybody knows what happened on the 12th. We had the Battle of Charlottesville. And I went up there, and I've joked about this, but it's kind of true. We went up there on James's dime and Sam Bushman's dime. They gave me the money, and we spent every nickel of it. And it was drinks in the house for everybody. But anyway, we didn't have that much money. There's not much money in this business. But y'all, without further ado, I would like to bring these guys in. And they're going to be kind of running this thing. I'm kind of off my game today. In fact, these guys don't know it. I'll kind of repeat what I did. I don't know if I told you this, James and Gene, but yesterday, before I had this SVP attack, I went every year, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, we meet near Keith Alexander's house, actually, at Southern Belvedere and Central at the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church. And we run 4 miles east to the University of Memphis, Zach Curran Avenue, and turn around and turn the 4 miles back. Well, I was going to do 16 in preparation for the New York Marathon, but I think that's going to be a pipe dream because at about mile 3.5 or so, I had that SVT attack, and so I didn't get to do my run, but we did that honoring, you can hear all about that in the first hour, how we honored Eliza Fletcher. But anyway, that's what I did just for these guys are going to come in and take over from me. So James, since you've been gone so long, since you hadn't been on Blood River Radio a long time, why don't you tell everybody, they already know you anyway, but tell them who you are, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'm your illegitimate son, and that's something we haven't
<That's>
been, <right. laughs> we haven't been able to told anybody
that before. Well, between me and James.
I'm a crazy uncle. They keep under the stairs, so, you know, we got a weird bunch out there.
That's right.
I tell you what, Thanksgiving's never a dull moment with all three of us.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I would just say very quickly to our producer that I am hooked up on the IPDTL, so if we can switch over to that, I'll give Eddie a little bit better audio than me on my cell phone. I am standing by for the connection, and then I'll switch off and then hop on to there. But no, it's great to be back on with both you and Gene tonight, Eddie. All kidding aside, I'm going to hang up and here we go.
Okay, I'm back now, and I'm assuming everybody can hear me. So, no, Eddie, I mean, as you were mentioning, we first met back in the summer of 2002. So it is, we're rounding up to say a quarter of a century, but it's not much shy of that. And that's when I was running for the Tennessee State House of Representatives. And we've told the story many times, but I always like to tell it. I was out canvassing a neighborhood that just happened to be your neighborhood. I didn't catch you at the house that night, but left one of my campaign brochures, and you came by. We actually had a physical brick-and-mortar campaign headquarters in a commercial real estate bay, and you came by and left your name and number, and I was still out campaigning that night. But that is how that story started, and I called you, and we went through that failed campaign that led me into radio, and then later you into radio, first with the Political Cesspool as a longtime stalwart and co-host, and then for the last, can you believe it now, 7 years now with Blood River Radio. And you and Gene, I listened, if I don't listen to the whole thing, I listen to the third hour just about every week because it, you know, immediately precedes TPC. And I always love Gene's Confederate History Month stuff. But yes, we have been together for a long, long time. And we're back together last week, you and Gene, along with Rich Hamblin and Patrick Martin, of course, Keith Alexander. We did our own Charlottesville show on TPC, which you've been covering here on the river this month. But and that was an issue that we cut our teeth on with the Political Cesspool, of course, as you'll remember, having twice put together very well-attended public, well, we called them vigils, instead of rallies or demonstrations or protest or whatever. Vigil was the word we used. But the first one in 2005, which really sort of set us on the map, we drew 200 people to oppose the renaming of the Confederate parks in Memphis at that time. Al Sharpton was in town. He was going to plan a march from one, when there was three Confederate parks in downtown Memphis, he was going to plan a march from one park to Forest Park, where Forest was then buried. And we picked out the park in the middle of that route. He canceled that march, and we had 200 people, and he had a crowd less than that. It made a lot of news, and we were off and running. And then 10 years later, in the aftermath of the Dylann Roof stuff, where there was just such this orgy of hatred towards anything Southern and anything Christian, that was when all the monuments were coming down, we were able to work with the SCV and get 500 people to Memphis for that. And so when Charlottesville came around, you know, we had had some experience, you and I and the others that you know, were with TPC, we had had some experience putting together some pretty well attended, I mean 200 and 500 respectively over the course of a 10-year period, public events in a majority black city of Memphis where you had to get permits and you had to go through all the proper procedures. And so we had a little bit of experience in organizing that. And I, when Charlottesville came around, I thought, okay, well, this obviously is going to be bigger because there's more groups involved. It's not just us. There's all these other groups. So, you know, they may have 1,000 people. I don't know how many people ended up turning out for the good guys in that one because it was such a melee. But, you know, hundreds and hundreds for sure. And I really didn't think that what happened in Charlottesville would happen based upon the experience that we had had in Memphis. I certainly knew it would be, you know, negative press coverage and there was going to be more protesters. The Memphis events never really had protesters. But with the Antifa and the BLM, but of course, as we said last week, and as we've talked about for 8 years now, this is the 8-year anniversary of Charlottesville. Nobody could have anticipated that. I don't think even you and Gene, the grizzled literal war veterans of Vietnam, could have anticipated a complete malpractice of law enforcement from the municipal county level all the way up to the state and the federal law enforcement agencies, that they would just have the police stand down and allow people to be attacked. Surely nobody could have said, well, we're going there and this is what's going to happen, but we're going to go anyway. Nobody, I mean, y'all tell me, but it changed everything. And in many ways, I think it changed it for the better, but a lot of people had to suffer for that.
Yes, a lot. Go ahead,
James. I think, yeah, James, you're absolutely right. It was a shock to all of us that went up there because the organizers like Jason Kessler and everybody, we played by their rules, got the permits and everything. And we'll tell you what happened after we get back from the break.
I was so excited. I can't wait to hear you guys getting together again. Be right back, folks.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear precious Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you again for holding on. And we had my spirit son, my illegitimate son, you might say. It could be changed. I see. We've been trying to decide who the real daddy is, me or Gene. But anyway, the bitter ender. Anyway, speaking of the bitter ender, and I will say we have several big time donors to us, you know, but it's not like Sean had anything, but all of our donors are big time. But we have several supporters that say that Gene is a national treasure, and that's the guy's truth anyway. Speaking of the bitter ender, is a guy, but he wrecks so damn many souls, it keeps Blood River Radio in the red. We're having to come up with all the money to buy. Replace all these swords. We're going to go to the bitter ender with himself right now. Just so happens his sword is still in pretty good shape, but I don't know if it's going to get to another battle or not. But how you doing tonight, bitter ender?
Doing okay. Honored to be on with James and all the things he's done. Well, what both of y'all have done. I mean, let's look at it this way. We people like you that and James that get out there and tell the truth. You in this country and the way things are going, you're pretty much laying your life on the line, because the lunatic left, they go absolutely ballistic when anybody tells the truth, and when anybody attempts to contradict the lies in the lamestream media or the lies on the TV networks and the garbage that they feed the American people to keep them stupid. Because remember, stupid people are a lot more are a lot easier to control than intelligent people. So that's the whole purpose behind all of this, is to keep the American public so stupid and ignorant that they'll elect, you know, Bidens and Harris and Kamala Harris and all these worthless pieces of garbage that we have destroying the government. And I hope Mr. Trump can get some of it straightened out. This stuff has been going on for so many years, and so it's so entrenched. I don't know. You know, he's done a good job getting some of it turned around, but, you know, I know James has seen this too. There's still a lot of animosity and adverse action against our Confederate history, whether it's statues, whether it's information in schools, whether it's parks, whatever it is. There's an ongoing attempt to destroy everything that we have that's important to us for our history and our heritage. And that's why these people don't want any Confederate history or Southern heritage out there, because it would remind the general population of what we used to have in this country and how few leaders we have today. They're just mostly talking heads. So that's why I'm so proud of y'all for what you've done with Blood River Radio and with the political cesspool of trying to get the truth out there. And it's an uphill battle. It really is. And I know it is, and I've heard some of the things y'all have had to go through. But if it weren't for people like you, there wouldn't be any truth being put out there for people to listen to and learn from. And I appreciate the time that you give me to come on the third hour there and give a few historical facts and tell some anecdotes and some little pieces of Confederate history. And that, and I'm not the smartest person in the world. I was misled. And I, as a, you know, fourth or fifth grader, I thought the Confederates were the good guys because they were Southerners. But I believe the old, well, this nonsense about the wars about slavery and Lincoln was a great president and all this garbage. And then as I got older and started reading, I said, you know, we've been lied to. I thought my ancestors were great people simply because I was related to them. But no, they were great people because they laid their lives on the line to defend our country when it was invaded by a rotten, rotten, corrupt government, which brings us back to Charlottesville. We were set up by a rotten, corrupt government, just like the Lincoln dictatorship. And we had the permit to be there. We played by their rules. We got the permit. And then they had this thing all planned out to turn these animals loose on us and destroy anybody that dared speak out against the government. And that was my take on it. And James may have a different idea about it, and I'd like to hear his views on that and what happened and his opinion on it.
Well, certainly. I mean, and we talked about this last week, and we've talked about it for years and years on both Blood River Radio and the Political Cesspool and elsewhere. I mean, Charlottesville has been examined and reexamined many, many, many times. And certainly, I think what the trap that they had laid, they were laying in wait. I mean, you'll remember up until even the 11th hour, you know, the 11th hour and the 59th minute of the night before, Jason Kessler won a court victory. The ACLU actually was advocating on his behalf and got a stay from a judge. So up until the day of, people did expect, and I was one of them, I did expect that it would be, you know, pretty hot. But I expected that people would go and be able to give speeches, and it would be negatively covered by the media, but that the event would be held, speeches would be given. And that was the show that we were planning to air that night on August the 12th, 2017, when we were live on the radio. We expected to be having the different speakers on to ask them about what they talked about, not how did you survive the day, which is what that show was. And I still say this, and we talked about it last week on TPC, our most recent show. You were on it, Gene. Eddie, you co-hosted that with me for the full 3 hours, and we just talked about, if I had to point, in 21 years, if I had to point to one show that is the best show we've ever done. It would have to be that show in Charlottesville, and Eddie was such a huge part of that there on the ground. Yes, we did talk to participants. We talked to people, you know, like David Duke and Simon Roche and others, Michael Hill, others who were there that are, you know, sort of regulars. But Eddie was bringing in people just right off the street with raw eyewitness testimony. It was just, and it's still available in the broadcast archives, of course. But that was the show we had. And I think, you know, it's obvious that the powers that be, from the city government on up to the state, Terry McAuliffe, the then governor of Virginia, the Democratic governor of Virginia, all the way up to the beyond that, were intent on making sure that this was the last time whites ever organized in the public square. I think that was what the intention was in Charlottesville, to let you come and then immediately allow yourself to be attacked, to let these people attack you without the law enforcement stepping in. You know, can you imagine if it was another group and white people were attacking them and the law enforcement just stands and watches, and then the people who are getting attacked are the ones that are villainized? I mean, it was just history and inverted. And let it be, and then blame all the violence on the Unite the Right participants and then ruin them. I mean, you had Antifa and these freaks going through every photo, every piece of video, every piece of any sort of documentation and identifying who the people were, getting them expelled from school, getting them fired from their jobs. That was still very much alive and well in 2017. And then so many people were ruined financially, crippled. And of course, some people were put into prison and some people committed suicide, and they wanted all of that. And they wanted it to be a lesson. White people, you do not have the freedoms of speech. You do not have the right to free assembly. You do not have the right to peaceably assemble. And this is going to be the end of it. And that's what their intent was. Now, they were effective in some ways with that, at least on the short term. But I do believe, gentlemen, Gene and Eddie, that the legacy of Charlottesville is that though some people suffered, and yes, some people were ruined as a result of it, it ultimately backfired on the powers that be. When you couple Charlottesville and, you know, thankfully, thanks to networks like this and shows like ours and participants and truth tellers like you, Gene, and then there's been the books by Jason Kessler and by Ann Wilson Smith and by Patrick Martin. I mean, there is factual, irrefutable evidence of what really happened that day. And I think when you take that in Charlottesville plus the riots of 2020 with George Floyd and this out of control anarchy, arson, just pure terrorism on the streets with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, on and on and on and on, many examples. It has led to this backlash and this cultural shift that we've seen, especially in the last 2 years, where now all of this stuff is really, call it wokeism, DEI or whatever. A lot of that's in retreat now. And I think Charlottesville has played an important role in that. It took people having to pay that price for others to see. A lot of people have come to see as a result of that, Minneapolis and so many other places. So I think ultimately Charlottesville did help our cause, but not in the way that it was intended.
No, I think you're absolutely right there, and you made a good point. I haven't looked at the long-range picture like you have there. I just still have a grudge against us. The state government in Virginia and Charlottesville itself, and what a double cross that was. So that slime ball mayor that told them the security would be provided and then deliberately told the police to stand down. And I've told this on Eddie's show before, when Terry McAuliffe announced that the Commonwealth of Virginia had declared a state of emergency and your permit has been revoked. You have 2 minutes to clear the area. And there was then did the police and the Virginia Highway Patrol start to do anything. They put on their Darth Vader helmets and got their big shields out there and started literally pushing us out of the park. And I'd been talking to one of the highway patrolmen. He seemed like a halfway decent guy, but that was a mistake I made to ever think that anybody that works for the government is decent. And I said, listen, if you'll just get us out of here, we're ready to go. We're gone. And he said, shut the F up. You want to go to F in jail? Get out of here. Get the F out of here. I thought, holy crap. what kind of monster do they have that they stick these uniforms on? So that was an eye-opening experience right there.
Got to take a quick break, Gene. Be right. We're going to right back to Gene as soon as this break's over. Be right back, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Texas has made the first move in a battle over redistricting.
There is a new voting map in Texas. Governor Greg Abbott signed the bill into law.
Texas is now more red in the United States Congress.
The new congressional voting map is designed to help Republicans gain more seats in the 2026 midterms. President Trump has been pushing for the new map. Republicans have a slim majority in the House. Before Texas lawmakers passed their new map, California passed a bill supported by Governor Gavin Newsom, putting before voters a new Democratic-leaning map to counter any gains Republicans could make in Texas. I'm Ed Donahue.
Next stop, Missouri. Republican Governor Mike Kehoe is calling a special legislative session to redraw the state's U.S. House districts. The announcement comes as President Trump has been urging Republican-led states to reshape district lines to give the party a better shot at retaining control of Congress in next year's election. Tariffs remain in place, but a federal appeals court has delivered a blow to the president's trade policy.
A federal court has ruled that President Trump wasn't legally allowed to use emergency powers to impose tariffs on almost every nation on earth, but they did not strike down the import taxes immediately, allowing the administration time to take the case to the Supreme Court. That leaves the tariffs in place for now. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit largely upheld a May decision by a trade court in New York. In the 7-4 ruling, the judges wrote, it seems unlikely that Congress intended to grant the president unlimited authority to impose tariffs. I'm Jennifer King.
British celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay is revealing that he was diagnosed with skin cancer, which has been removed. The TV personality shared a photo on Instagram of a bandage over part of his face and neck and another showing a line of stitches from his earlobe to the top of his neck, reminding everybody to don't forget your sunscreen this weekend. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Attention investors with a 401k, IRA, or retirement account. The dollar has lost over 25% of its value in the past 5 years, and it's only going to get worse. Are you prepared for what's about to happen next? We are Advantage Gold, the number one customer-rated gold IRA company in America, and we are helping Americans prepare for the great de-dollarization by diversifying their portfolios with physical precious metals. We've partnered with former chief economist of the IMF, Kenneth Rogoff, to give away his latest book called Our Dollar, Your Problem, a must-read for investors. Call 800-741-GOLD, and we'll rush a free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem, to your doorstep, and include our special gold IRA investing kit, valued at $49. The dollar is losing value fast. Call 800-741-GOLD now to get your free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem, and our free gold IRA investing kit. Supplies are limited. Consult your tax and financial professional before investing. Call 800-741-4653. That's 800-741-GOLD.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we've often said a bunch of times that our listeners, Blood River Radio family could listen to Twitter. We had some of the best conversations during the break. But we're going to toss it back to Gene, and I'll start out. I asked him this question a minute ago, and we'll see if the bitter ender, by the way, he's the still bitter, more bitter than ever bitter ender, by the way, Gene Andrews. I asked him this question, and they took it in, I mean, they could have done a college essay on the thing. I asked him, and I go to Gene, the bitter ender. Gene, James said earlier, before the break, that the powers that be were hellbound, that they were going to show white people that loved them their own self. I mean, God forbid you love yourself and you love your parents, you love your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you love your kids, your wife. You will have none of that. They were going to show those type of people that you will not. White people in America will not have the right to peaceably assemble. They will not have the right of free speech. They will not be able to pray in public. They will not have the right to do any of that. We're going to drive you into the ground and show you that you're nothing but a piece of dog crap on our feet. That's the way we look at white Christian people. So then I asked, Gene and James, I said, here we go, Gene first. Gene, I said, will there ever be another Charlottesville? Will white people ever get together and stand in mass the way we did in Charlottesville again? Or did they beat us down to a pulp? Did they beat the spirit out of us? Did they turn us into a bunch of cowards? So to repeat myself, will there ever be another Charlottesville type demonstration where young white men and women come together and protest the powers that be? Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, that's what James was talking about, that was the whole purpose of Charlottesville. And he said there really hadn't been another rally like that until we get to January 6th. And that's when those, I don't know how many millions, showed up on the mall there in D.C. to protest the stolen election. And, I mean, a blind man could see it in a minute. The election was stolen. It was crooked. There were truckloads of fake ballots brought in. There were voting machines that were tampered with, and so many people, like that boy, the fellow that has the MyPillow commercials and everything, I heard him explain on the air how you could adjust those voting machines to not count certain votes. And so, yeah, it was a stolen election. And all of these people that showed up in Washington, not to overthrow the government, just to ask them to sit down and look at this, re-examine this mess. Don't just go in there and vote to certify all this thing when there's so many questions about it. So that's when the government reacted, and we were talking about how they set that up on a much larger scale than they did Charlottesville, but it was the same type of thing. You sucker these people in, you get honest people to show up and think that they really have First Amendment rights to peaceably assemble and redress grievances against the government. And we peacefully assembled in Charlottesville, with the people peacefully assembled in Washington. And the big stink was, and the crooked double cross that they got was, and I talked to people that were there, they couldn't drive in there to the mall or anything else. They had to park way across the river in Arlington or in Alexandria and then take public transportation into the D.C. area. And so nobody could get up there close to the Capitol and just drive up there, except these buses that pulled up mysteriously and started unloading all these people that actually were the ones who smashed in the doors and fought with the Capitol Police and did all of that. And who sent them in there? And there's all kind of accusations that they were FBI undercover agents that were sent there to discredit the people that were protesting the election. And the same tactics that they used in Charlottesville to have the Antifa thugs and the BLMers, which stands for burning, looting, and murder. Anyway, they were sent there to discredit the conservative white Christian people that showed up in Charlottesville. And then January 6th, and what the government did was an attempt to shut up and traumatize and delegitimize white conservative people that speak out against the government. And you don't question the king and his empire. You be quiet, you pay your taxes, you crawl on your hands and knees, and that's all you're allowed to do. So, yes, to a certain extent, there was another Charlottesville on a much bigger scale. And I've talked to people that were there that never even got up to the Capitol, and they said, you know, it's like a big family reunion. There were grandparents there and kids and everybody. They didn't see any violence out there on the mall. It was all orchestrated and contrived and planned and worked up by the government. In fact, there's a friend of mine here in Nashville, Dan Meredith, that has a TV show every Wednesday night, and I'll give him a plug for that, called Heartland Liberty. And he has interviews with different people, and three or four times, Stuart Parks has been on there, and Stuart is running for the congressional 7th District congressional seat in Tennessee, and we've tried to help him out, and he was there on January 6th, and the Capitol Police just opened the door and said, yeah, come on in, and he kind of walked in and looked around and walked out. You know, he didn't see anything going on, except they identified him. And about 6 months later, here came the Gestapo, FBI, which back in those days it was called the Fumbling Bumbling Idiots, FBI stood for back in those days. I hope it's gotten better. And, of course, he didn't have any kind of criminal record, wasn't an anarchist or anything, but they attacked his house like, you know, there were a whole group of Muslim terrorists in there or something, and hauled him off to jail with one of these fake trials, and he had to serve time. And luckily, he got his, you know, prison sentence revoked and overturned. And he said the best thing about it was he got a pardon on Robert E. Lee's birthday, January 19th, wow, after President Trump came into office. He said that was a double great day right there. But that was what he was saying, that normal people were sent a message from the imperial empire in Washington. You do not question the imperial empire. We will tell you what you can and can't do. And if you step out of line and go to Charlottesville to protest the removal of our Confederate history, or if you go to the empire's capital, the Axis of Evil Empire capital in D.C., and protest a fake, contrived, crooked election, then we will step on you with every branch of the federal government and crush you into the ground. So I don't know. James may disagree and say that wasn't anything like Charlottesville, but I think there were a lot of parallels between both of those events. That's my take on it.
No, Gene, you are exactly right. As a matter of fact, Patrick Martin, who was also on TPC last Saturday when we did our own three-hour Charlottesville retrospective for this year, he did draw a direct connection between Charlottesville and J6. The only reason I don't think I mentioned it a moment ago when I was saying there has been nothing like Charlottesville since is that, yes, there were obviously similarities between Charlottesville and J6. The difference being, and the reason I didn't include it, was because J6 was not white nationalist or Southern nationalist. It was just your more normie people, your normal Trump Republican conservatives, and they got the same treatment. And I think that, though, is another good example, in so much as we were talking about Charlottesville, the George Floyd riots, and then, you know, all the people who were burning down cities, they didn't go to jail. But Richard Barnett, who we interviewed, by the way, the gentleman who put his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, they tried to give him life in prison. I mean, I say that jokingly. I think he was up for like 20 years and he's 60. So, you know, they were trying to do something like that. And he did go to prison. Of course, he was one of the ones that was pardoned by Trump. And God bless Trump for that. All right. But yes, I mean, all those people went to jail. So all of that is, I think, you know, just one thing after another. And then all the transgenderism sickness, I think people just had enough of it. And it has all sparked. It all gets baked into that cake that has sparked this cultural backlash to where now we are advancing and they are in retreat on a lot of fronts. But I think Charlottesville played a part in that. Yes, J6. Yes, the BLM riots. And all the injustice that came from the people who were put into prison over J6. And so, no, it is important to bring that up. And Patrick did do that. Again, the only reason I didn't mention it was that it wasn't just our people, just sort of race conscious whites, but it was, average Trump voter, but the courts and the media certainly did not differentiate. In fact, they said we were all one and the same, which has really helped us.
You guys made excellent points. I'll make a quick comment. We'll come back to this break, but you guys are on fire. I can't believe my good fortune to have two guys like you on the program tonight. Be right back, folks. Quick break, 2 minutes.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of we've had the great people tonight. Coming on from the first hour, our new guy, Will Franklin. Paul, come on, second hour. I mean, he's been in this longer than I have. We got James, he's a new guy, but on the block, but even though James been there for a quarter of a century in the bitter ender, I'm just so fortunate to have friends like these. No matter what happens to me, the family I've got, the friends I've got, God has really smiled upon me. But anyway, I was going to throw this question out to our guys, to our men. We look at around the country, and we see this massive resistance in the cities to the to the power. One thing Trump is doing is kicking out these migrants, especially the illegal migrants. And like we said in the first hour, we don't care if they're illegal or illegal. Or like Paula said, they're still non-white and they're still in our country. But with that said, there's massive resistance in all these black controlled, especially black controlled cities and communist, white communist controlled cities. They're not going to go along. They're fighting Trump's program of kicking these migrants out. They're fighting him tooth and nail. They're not going to cooperate. Trump's having to send the National Guard to quell the out of control crime, and they're even complaining about that. So with that being said, I'm going to ask, Brander, will we see, if not a civil war in this country, are we going to see a split in the country, a balkanization of the country that will finally end, the end result will finally be a no more United States of America? I'll get your take on that, Bitterender, and then James, you give your take.
James had mentioned something in the break. I think we need to go with James first, and then I've got a couple of comments right at the end. So, James, take it away, partner.
Yeah, I can never keep track who said what. That's one of my weaknesses. I usually make notes on that. If I don't make it out of
the
room, who
read the
said
notes? Come on, Joe Biden, read the teleprompter. You can do it.
I can't read. But go ahead, James. If you remember that question, go ahead and take off on that, brother.
Okay, I'm going to hop around and cover two or three different things very quickly, but I'll start with your question, and that is, will there be a balkanization? I mean, certainly maybe. You're going to have a bigger problem with blue states than blue cities. So if it's, or a blue city in a blue state, because in a blue state, you're going to have the governor, you're going to have their high-ranking elected officials there to push back against you. And so with that, you could have some trouble. But right now, I mean, we're 8 months into the second Trump administration, and the left is still very disorganized. They have not, Trump rolled them, or the Trump administration, whoever was sort of directing that, whether it was Stephen Miller or whomever, they rolled them on so many fronts in those first few days after Trump went back into the White House that they have not been able to regain their balance still with some sort of cohesive plan or message. So we'll have to see what the left does. Right now, I mean, they have been in retreat on just about everything. And so there hasn't been any push, hasn't been able to come to shove because they've been so lackluster. And in places like Tennessee, look, I mean, nobody's going to mistake the Tennessee state legislature as being white nationalist or anything like that. But as far as a Republican state government can go, what we've got in Tennessee and what you've got in places like Alabama is about as good as it gets. They are good on just about all of the issues. They don't address all of the issues we would address, but the issues they do address, they vote pretty much our way on it, whether it be immigration or whatever. And in a place like Memphis, I mean, basically the entire rest of Tennessee just looks at Memphis. Certainly the government does. The state house looks at Memphis as like this embarrassment. And Memphis, you're going to have bad politics and high crime in Memphis, and we all know why. But the rest of the state of Tennessee is pretty good. So you certainly wouldn't need any sort of balkanization, here in the state. Memphis is just like this blue tumor, but it's not a big enough tumor like Portland is in Oregon or Chicago is in Illinois to sink the entire state. So I like what I see. I mean, yes, I would prefer Eddie Miller to be governor and Gene Andrews to be, vice governor or vice versa. But short of that, I mean, we have a pretty good, we have a decent state here. I mean, as far as we can throw them. And most of this stuff that you're seeing with the Confederate monuments, gentlemen, going back, at least a decade now, all of the rancor is exclusively in blue cities like Charlottesville. You have not seen any Confederate monuments come down, and you haven't seen any sort of controversy over Confederate monuments in place like Corinth, Mississippi. And you will not. In 20 years from now, the Confederate monument will still be in the town square in Corinth, and everybody will be proud of it. This has exclusively happened in blue areas. That's something important to remember. And also, I just want to say one thing very quickly about these monuments. Why are these monuments important? Well, yes, they are works of art. The Nathan Bedford Forrest Equestrian Monument is the finest work of art I've ever seen of that kind. There is no equestrian monument anywhere in Europe that is more beautiful than that. These are masterpieces. These are works of art that should be
preserved for that reason alone. Yes, they are our historical heroes. They have these monuments because of the actions that they took and the lives that they led. But why is it important? Why do they hate these monuments so much? It's because it gives modern day people examples that we should be emulating. You have to take them down so people will forget. As long as those monuments are up, they stand as a testament of what men should strive to be. That is the most important thing I think about these monuments, is that it gives us someone to look up to and to try to be more like. You know, when I look at a statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest or Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson, it makes you want to be more like them and to behave more like them and to carry yourself more like them. So that is why they want, one of the, you know, of course, just, and then of course, a visceral, just a demonic hatred of white people, of course, but those are very important things to remember about these monuments. Now, one thing about Gene, very quickly, Eddie, you and I have so many memories going back to 2002. I mean, yes. My God, we could tell stories for weeks and do nothing else, and we would never cover it all. But Gene, I just got to say, when I first saw Gene Andrews speak at a Council of Conservative Citizens conference, I was entirely amazed and enthralled. He gave his Fort Pillow speech. We have been fast friends ever since. Regular guests. I would brag about how often he comes on TPC, but he's on Blood River every week. So, you know, but I mean, he has spoken at every conference we've done. And, you know, that trip to Fort Pillow that we took, I mean, we have just had so many good times with Gene, and, you know, we're doing things now that we've not been able to do before because things have advanced so much further than they were in 2004 when I first went on the air. We have access to different kinds of guests and different kinds of opportunities that we didn't get, and it has all kind of gotten a little bit more businesslike. But just being this hour again with you and Gene, Eddie, and last week on the political cesspool when it was just sort of like the home team, it just, boy, this makes me remember the days when it was all still ahead of us, and it's just all so, the camaraderie was never higher. So it's just, I've enjoyed being on with y'all today. I can't believe the hour's already up. We got to do this more often.
Yes, we do. I'll tell you what, sometimes I wish we could go back and be like it was in those days. It's simple. We had about 12 or 15 people in the listening audience. We could say anything.
A lot more carefree and loose, for sure.
It was much carefree. But Billy Ender, you said you had a couple points you wanted to make before you ran out of time.
There's an interesting book out there called National Divorce by Thomas Wood, and it says National Divorce, a Peaceful Solution to Unreconcilable Differences. Anyway, his whole point is that this country is so fractured politically, there's no compromise between the conservatives and these wacko crazy liberals. And why do we keep trying to grab people by the collar and bang their heads together and tell them to like each other? Let the left coast go. Let the Northeast go. If that's the kind of government they want, fine. And the crazy wackos in Memphis and Nashville's getting as bad with the universities here, Vanderbilt and Belmont and TSU. We get all the crazies around here. And let them go to the left coast, or let them go to the Northeast, and we'll take the South and Texas. And my brother lives in Texas. He said they tried to get rid of the monument of General Patrick Claiborne in Claiborne, Texas. And, boy, they got that shut down in a hurry. And the same thing in Granbury, Texas, named for Hiram Granbury, who was a brigade commander under Claiborne. And most of his troops were from Texas. So after the war, a lot of them went out there. And Granbury, Texas is named after that Confederate general who was killed at the Battle of Franklin, just like Patrick Claiborne was. So, and they shut that down no time flat, but those are small towns. And y'all are right, it's the blue cities, and mostly liberal Democrats, black police chiefs, black attorney generals, that have pretty much destroyed these cities. And you can see what happens in D.C. when somebody comes in with some common sense and says, we're not going to let the thugs run the city anymore. We're going to get it straightened out. And how many days were they bragging about they went without a single murder in D.C. when the National Guard and the came in to back up the D.C. police? And that's another funny thing that's happened. You know, now they're whining about the military, and these are Nazis and Gestapos, and oh, it's so terrible, and oh, the liberals are going nuts. The liberals were on the other side. They were jumping up and down. They were so excited. They were wetting their pants when the Kennedys sent the National Guard into Tuscaloosa,
yes,
or Oxford, Mississippi. That was
absolutely
great when they could destroy those universities. And they thought that was wonderful that the National Guard and the federal troops, 101st Airborne, went into Little Rock. Eisenhower sent them in there. And they thought that was just wonderful. And now when they're using the National Guard to turn on their liberal criminals. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, this is the Gestapo. This is Nazi Germany right here in our wonderful, beautiful Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Los Angeles, or whatever hellhole they live in.
I just say, so, very quickly, Eddie, I know you got to wrap it up, but to Gene's point, yes, I would love a national divorce. The problem isn't us hanging on to them, it's that we can't get rid of them. Just stick around and just...
That's what I was talking about when I said that we're a balkanization. So evidently, this national divorce book addressed that very issue. Well, listen, guys, I cannot tell you, man, how much I love having you two guys on. We've got to do this more often. We're brothers through and through, spiritually, if not organically. But God bless you two guys. I can't wait for us to do this again. And James, you have a good program on TPC tonight. And Gene, I'll be contacting you guys lately, real soon, about an event we have coming up, God willing, if I live. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, James. Thank you, Gene. Good night, everybody.